Tak vzajmo.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-host, Steve and Stacy J. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to encourage dialogue across ages, genders, sexual orientation, religious backgrounds, and sex. So feel free to join in the discussion. We want to know what you think.
I hear that music, you guys. I'm like over here shaking my head and snapping my fingers. I feel like I should be at somebody's like jazz spot when I hear that. But anyway, welcome to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. I am so excited about this topic today, and I don't know if I'm more excited about the topic or most likely I'm excited about my guest, because I have been trying to get him on the show since I've probably been back on the air. So I am really looking forward to this topic. So before I introduce our guest for today, as always, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Hayseez.
Hi, Dr. Guy. This is going to be an interesting show, as always.
As always. Hey, Fatima.
Hi, Dr. Guy. I'm really ready to hear what the guys are going to say, so I'm looking forward to this.
I am too. So, like I said, I have been trying to get this gentleman on my show for some months now. So I'm really excited to have Dr. Malik Rahim. This brother is, like, I can't even say enough about him, because I'm sure he's going to introduce himself in a minute, but we're going to go ahead and get right into the topic after he introduces himself. Hello, Dr. Rahim.
Hello, Dr. Guy. How are you? How you doing, Steve?
I'm awesome.
All right, sir.
I don't know.
I didn't hear the other young lady's name.
Fatima.
Fatima. How you doing, Fatima? Fatima. How you doing, Miss Fatima? Is it Fatima or Fatima?
I'm excellent.
I don't know if I can trust Steve. I don't know if I can trust Steve.
Steve's
going to give me
trouble. That's the historical way to say it. I'm just saying.
Okay. Miss Fatima, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
That's good. Steve's going to give me in trouble. He's starting trouble already.
Right. Like, we're not even 5 minutes in, and Steve's starting already. So, Dr. Raheem, before we start on our topic, tell our listeners a little bit about what you're currently doing in your background.
Yes. Well, after I earned my doctorate in counselor education and supervision from Northern Illinois University, I started teaching out at Fresno State for 7 years. And in the summer, I would come back to Chicago, and I would do some free counseling in the community of African descent. And I would, you know, deal with things like trauma, relationship issues, which kind of went hand in hand. And then after leaving Fresno State, I now I'm a clinical assistant professor at Wilberforce University, the first private HBCU in the country. So I'm out at Wilberforce University teaching young people how to be clinical rehabilitation counselors.
Always shouts out to HBCUs. So
yes.
With you come today with a wealth of knowledge and expertise in the area of so many things. And so I know that as we get into this topic today, that you're going to bring that to the conversation. So I pretty much feel like I have to put this disclaimer out sometimes before the show and apologize for anything that Steve may say over the next hour. But you've heard the show, so you already know how this goes.
Yeah, I've heard the show. Yes, I've heard the show several times. Steve is not bad.
Absolutely.
I think Steve and I are going to be able to work well together. I think Steve and I are going to be able to work
well
together.
Well, as one of the only persons that actually is degreed from Bourbon Street and not from a University of Higher Learning, my perspective may be a little different, as my community service and the hours that I have achieved have come from quite different professors.
Well,
your perspective
from Bourbon Street, your degree from Bourbon Street will be very, very helpful with this discussion, because of the fact that it's a lot of things that you will be able to hopefully recognize that the common man and common woman are doing to sabotage themselves.
Okay. You know what? You led us right into the topic. So our discussion today is, are men and women afraid of good relationships? And if that is the case, are they unintentionally sabotaging these relationships? So,
well,
that's our topic. Dr. Raheem, go ahead and open it up.
Well, I hope I got a lot of people's attention, but the thing is, first let me put out this little introduction. Basically, our relationship with other people are affected by the way we internalize our experiences of others and also our trauma that we've experienced throughout our life. And the most impactful trauma is when we were children, and it impacts the way we attach ourselves to other people. It affects our attachments. So the thing is that with those considerations, our interpersonal relationships are impacted very poorly, because we never recognize that trauma. We never address that trauma. So what happens is we get this false sense of who we are built off of that trauma. So what happens is we'll think about who we want as a mate, but we'll settle for things as less, so our mask won't be revealed. So when we find someone that is going to be our equal or better, what happens is we start finding little bitty idiotic faults to try to sabotage the relationship, because we don't want them to recognize how bad we are. So it's a lot more comfortable for a lot of people to get involved with people who are lesser than them, so they could be the quote-unquote savior or the hero.
Absolutely. Like, you opened it up and said everything pretty much in a nutshell, that often, definitely in my office, that clients don't realize the importance of how those early childhood relationships with their caregivers impact their current relationships. And so when I ask them questions about it, they're like, that happened 20, 30 years ago. It's irrelevant. And I'm like, it's very relevant because your attachment style speaks to that early feeling of abandonment or that early those issues of enmeshment. And so as we talk about it affecting relationships now, I'm going to ask Steve this question. Steve, being that you just heard Dr. Raheem's response about are men and women afraid of good relationships and are they unintentionally self-sabotaging, what are your thoughts on that?
I believe it is quite possible that that is occurring. In my experience, attachment styles are very important. They lead to more of the relationships having issues and how you actually can bond with someone. One of the things that I do like to ask women that I have been dating is how were they disciplined as a child? Because you will find women who were spanked behave differently than women that were not spanked.
Interesting you went with spanked. Okay. I'm going to go to our marriage and family therapist, Fatima. What are your thoughts on the topic?
I don't think it's necessarily that men and women are afraid of good relationships. I think that most men and women don't know what good or healthy relationships look like. So if your childhood experience is a lot of dysfunction, toxic relationships, even if you know that's not what you want, a lot of people inadvertently end up in those types of relationships because that's what's comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they know. Ooh. That's what they've seen. So most people will want and say they want to be in a good relationship. They want to be in a healthy relationship, but they don't know how. They haven't had it modeled. They don't know what it looks like. They don't know how to behave in one. So the self-sabotage, I think, generally occurs just out of a lack of knowledge and understanding.
That's an interesting point. Dr. Raheem, what do you say to that, that it's out of a lack of self-knowledge?
It's kind of what I just said, that they don't truly know themselves because of the trauma and the mask that they've been wearing for so long. I think one of the things that's got to be kind of flushed out is the theoretical orientation clinicians are coming from, right? So if you're coming from more of like an objective relations type of theoretical orientation, then that's more like in the family of psychodynamic and psychoanalytical. So you would look at where the unconscious kind of dictate the behaviors. If you're looking from a family systems type of thing, you look at how the family is kind of the first nurturing type of social group that the person will have, and they will build off of that. So it's like it kind of depends on what theoretical orientation you come from as far as what language you'll use and where you're kind of addressing. But Ms. Fatima kind of confirmed what I said, but in a sense said it in the terms of her understanding as far as the way I'm going to assume the way she looks at doing her practice and with her client. But, she might not look at the concept of self-sabotaging as, the defining model. But if the person doesn't understand what a good relationship is, then of course that when something that they would probably be good for them, they wouldn't, focus in on it. They wouldn't push for it. They wouldn't, fight for it. They'll look for different reasons to say, no, that's not right. I don't want that. It's just like when I did my master thesis at Chicago State, one of the things I looked at was how impactful is internalized stereotypes have on a person's mate selection. So, like, if a person's sitting around and they're looking at, like, Like, say, for example, if they're really into hip-hop culture and they see gangsters, quote-unquote, black males as gangsters, and they say that's a real black male, then what, you know, what's going to happen is they can say they want a guy who's going to open a door for them. They can say they're going to want a guy who is going to, you know, look out for them and pay for dinner and provide for them and all these good things that they'll see in the movies. But in actuality, since they already internalized what a man is because of the hip-hop version, then that's what they're going to end up look. That's what they're going to end up with, even though they're voicing something totally different. They're going to internalize this is what it is because of the fact that that's where their unconscious is going to drive them. So it's like it's like I said, it depends on, you know, I'm not going to say we disagree. I say actually we agree. It just depends on what, you know, terminology you use as far as which theoretical orientation you're coming from.
Okay. I think at the end you really touched on what we talked about last week on the show about compatibilities and ratings and what people are attracted to. But I want to go back to an earlier statement that you were just making in reference to how we, our theoretical orientations really dictates how we define it or view this topic. And so I think it's important for us to kind of describe or maybe even define this category that we're talking about, because this idea behind people being afraid of a good relationship, it's subjective. So when we talk about our people self-sabotaging relationships, what does that really look like, right? That is so vague and it's so subjective and it's open. Maybe we should talk about some examples of what that might look like in a relationship, because people might not know that they're actually doing this, especially if it's unconsciously done.
Okay. Let's say, for example, if you heard the saying, good guys finish last. I've listened to the show a couple of times, and it's like, Steve is not what I would call part of the alpha male syndrome. And when I say the alpha male syndrome, what I mean by that is, it's like, that they just want to have sex with women. So Steve is not like that, right? No.
Clearly
I'm not going to disrespect the man. I don't know him personally, but when I listen to him on the radio, he'll take a young lady out, he'll do things, he'll call her and all this stuff, but he doesn't think, when I say the alpha male syndrome, it is a real, real bad syndrome, to where it's like their philosophy is that, you know, they don't text a woman back right away. The only thing they really worried about is sex, not the person's, personality or anything like that, just looks and sex. And so the thing is that almost anyone, and I say almost anyone because it also depends on what you define as a good man, but almost anyone would say to a woman that is not a good mate for you, because they're not going to be committed to you. They're not going to be faithful. They're not looking for a relationship. They're basically going to be around you until they get what they came out to get, and then they're going to push on, right, to the next one. But women are constantly going for those type of gentlemen versus the gentlemen that they say they will want. The gentleman who, you know what I'm saying, who will open the door for them, who will pull out the chair, who wants to pamper them, who wants to treat them like they a queen. So you have a lot of people say, oh, I'm a queen, but at the same time, they find a gentleman who's not going to treat them like a queen. They find a gentleman who's going to treat them like a bed witch. So the thing is that they, what they'll do is when they find a gentleman who's going to do well. From, I remember the last show I was able to catch, the young lady was saying that she has ground rules when she go on a date, to where she lets the gentleman know that she doesn't pick up a check, she doesn't touch doors. I don't think that was the exact quote, but it was something similar to that, right? And that's good, but the thing is, it's like, I'm sorry?
I believe that was
but I'm not saying.
Okay. My nemesis. Yes, I say I
but,
said
but,
and
but,
I,
Right. Let me finish real quick though. The thing is that while that is good advice, you have women say that, but they'll date a guy who won't do that. They'll date a guy who they will have to pay for when they go out to dinner. They'll date a guy who don't believe in open the door, and they'll think that, well, I can change him because they're looking, you know what I'm saying? But it's like the guy who will do that, deep down inside, they don't feel that they're worthy of him. Now, are all women like that? No. Are all men like that? No. But if we don't address the trauma that we have, it does impact the attachment. It does impact who we feel that we should have. And a lot of, and then also the, when we stir, we accept stereotypes on what is going on, and we accept them as the truth, what happens is that that is what we'll end up looking for. But it usually will be unconscious. It won't be a direct consciousness. And so, like, the thing is that in trauma, when you're early on, what happens is that you want to get something that is fulfilling of a missing thing. So you're constantly chasing that missing thing. So the thing is that if, let's say, for example, y'all had a show about women who weren't raised by their dads or something like that, or have father issues. I don't remember the exact topic, but the thing is that what they'll do is they'll chase men like they're really trying to find resolution with the issues that they had with their father. Or young men will chase women where they're trying to resolve issues what they have with their mother. So their mother could have been, you know, good, but it was like the mother was aloof. They find women who are aloof, so they can get that. So they can get that gratification of she approve of me now. But in actuality, it's like it's unconscious. So it's like they're chasing somebody who would be better for them. They'll leave them alone and sabotage that relationship because they'll say, I don't know, I don't like her. You know, and you have women saying that he's too nice. I don't like him. He's too nice. He always calling me all the time. He's bugging me. No, I don't want to be bothered. But in essence, like, when you sit down and you write down the things you want in relationships, those are some of the things you want, that they'll be attentive to you, that they'll, you know, they'll be supportive of you. But it's like the thing is, you don't actually want that. In this show, Insecure, I don't know if anyone ever watched that show. There was a last season, the young lady, I don't remember the character's name, but one of the young ladies was dating a guy who was in a relationship. I don't know if he's married or just in a relationship, but she was dating him. And she had a friend who would come to visit her from Chicago. And he was very supportive. He was encouraging her to go for a partner in her office firm and all this stuff. And so on the surface, you say, this is the guy that you should be with. But she found, well, he's a little overweight, so I don't want to be with him. Right, so she will find reasons in her mind and tell her friends on why she don't want to be with him. But on the when you looked at it, if she would wrote everything down on the paper, for the most part, characteristics, these would be the things that the gentleman have. But she finding reason on why not to be with her. And then the same thing go with gentlemen. It's like the thing is, on the surface, you'll find these sisters who are out there that are really doing great things. You know, they can really be attentive, they'll really be supportive, but they'll find reasons on why they cannot be with them. And it'd be these little bitty, silly reasons. I hope that makes sense. A little bit.
It does. Steve, I know you wanted to chime in there, so.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, his perspective. I agree with half of it. Well, I don't know. I agree with part of it, maybe like a fourth, but I disagree with three-fourths of it. Like, from my Bourbon Street knowledge, speaking to a gentleman who earned his money from women who did things for him, one of the things that he always told me was, if you want a bitch, treat her like a queen. If you want a queen, treat her like a bitch. So what we're actually talking about more is arousal and attraction. Like, when you talk about arousal, that's what the alpha male does. You have to kind of mentally come up with attraction, and that's more what someone can do for you. So I think we're confusing the arousal and the attraction. Like, there are elements of quote-unquote the good guy that's attractive, but it's not arousing. So there's not necessarily that sense of security or comfort or safety with those gentlemen. So I think that there are some truths to what you're saying, but I think there are definite holes in this theory as it relates to that, how you're presenting the self-sabotage. Ultimately, what it is these women don't feel aroused by these gentlemen enough to pursue these things for whatever exterior reasons. Now, you know, when we talk about these men who are being pursued, a lot of times they are presenting the physical package. We can't forget the body game. You know, if we look at billionaires, Robert Kraft just got caught, you know, doing whatever at whatever spot. He doesn't have any game. Just because you have money doesn't mean you have game or you have the things that make a woman aroused by you. You can provide for her needs. That doesn't mean she's going to be attracted to you. So I think what we're talking about more is arousal and attraction, which is more physical and mental.
I can see both sides of that. Not saying that I agree with you, Steve, but I can definitely see both sides of it. But
I can only speak to what I've lived.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think that, you know, there's a right or wrong. I'm just saying I can see both sides of that. I guess the question is, if we are asking, are women and men afraid of good relationships, why does it even matter, right? Like, why do we care? If we're saying, yes, women and men are afraid of good relationships, why does it matter? Because they're afraid of good relationships, what happens?
There is a lack of relationships. Like, I think that, like, speaking to what Dr. Malik was saying is, I have been in situations where I have been dating a woman who's been dating another gentleman, and because I may understand more of her shadow side or idiosyncrasies, he may not have had the same chance with her because he's not in tune to who she is as a person wholly. And a lot of times with women, they're not very comfortable expressing that shadow side of themselves to people. So, yes, you may want the guy who opens the door, you know, but you may want the guy who opens the door and slaps you on your ass when you walk through. Those aren't necessarily the same people.
Right. Let me ask you something, please. Okay. I don't know how truthful you are. I'm assuming that you are very truthful, but you said that you dated women who've had other gentlemen, right?
You said I've dated women that have done what?
Yes, that was gentlemen. Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So is it in a sense that's kind of sabotaging their relationship? Because in a relationship, there shouldn't be an additional person unless there is mutual agreement. So
what you're saying is if I dated women who've been in... No, I need some clarification. So what you're asking
You dated women who've been in relationship with other men, and you were the other guy. And you said you brought out their shadow.
I've done that as well, yes.
Yeah, you've done that. Okay, so isn't it since that woman is sabotaging her good relationship?
So who is to say it's a good relationship if she's willing to date someone else?
You did. You said You said that.
No, I said good guy. I didn't say good relationship. I said when you talked about a good guy versus a bad guy, I didn't say good relationship or a bad relationship.
Okay. Maybe I misunderstood you, so I'm gonna rephrase what I'm saying. So it won't be no argument. All right. I'm gonna come here to fight. Okay. So make sure I'm saying exactly what you said in this question I'm posing. You dated women who've been with other gentlemen. Now, did you say the gentlemen were good guys?
No, I said.
Okay. Okay. Now,
I have dated women.
Okay. Hypothetically. Hypothetically.
Well, Malik, this is not a class. This is not a class. I'm not your student. I can talk. No, let's not cut me off like I'm not gonna cut you off. All right. So this is a dialogue. We're going back and forth. We're gonna present this as colleagues and not professor and student. So
I'm gonna try.
I know. That's why I gotta stop you. I feel you. So I have dated women that have been in relationships with other men. I have dated women where she's been dating people and I've been dating people. Who was good and bad is not for me to determine.
Okay.
I can't make that determination. I can tell you what happened, but to say he was a good guy or a bad guy, I can't do that. That's subjective. I can tell you what occurred, and we can make some determinations based on that evidence. But to determine, quote-unquote, good or bad,
I
can't do that.
You can't. Right, you can't. Okay. But my question to you is, let me ask a question. If this woman had a gentleman who was treating her like a queen, and she decided to date someone outside the relationship while she was in a relationship, wouldn't that in essence be sabotaging her relationship?
No, because you're assuming, let me finish, you're assuming that she wants and needs to be treated like a queen, because that's your idea of relationships. There may be other aspects to her personality and what she needs in a relationship that is not queen-like. What you'll find a lot of times, and this is why I touched on the corporal punishment, is people that have been spanked as children or been in abusive relationships need some form of physical stimuli that may be untraditional in order to feel fulfilled in a relationship. So what you'll find sometimes is stop.
You're absolutely
stop.
Right. You're absolutely
Stop. I'm not finished. So what you'll find is these women may be in relationships with men but may not be cognizant of aware on how to treat them in that capacity, and that's what would fulfill them in a relationship, not being treated like a queen. They need that structure of the physical stimuli in order to feel complete.
Okay. I said because the trauma that they experience impacts the
you
way
did.
So if they was in an abusive relationship or they were getting spanked, that's trauma that they've experienced that's impacting the way they are attaching to relationships now, right?
According to your definition, but I don't know if spanking versus being abused is totally different.
If they're getting abused, that's trauma. If they're getting spanked, that's trauma.
I guess what I'm saying is there's a difference between spanking, as it was corporal punishment in the 70s, and being slammed against the TV.
That was still a trauma.
Right. Well,
there are definite degrees.
Dr. Malik, you ain't been in this world. I'm telling you, there are degrees to what the trauma is.
And Dr. Raheem and Steve, as
yes,
a woman on this show, listening to the two of you all talk as men, and Fatima, I would love for you to chime in. It is interesting to hear the two of you dialogue about relationships and what is driving women's behavior, right? Because I'm assuming, obviously, you're men, so you're drawn to the description of the female's behavior. But to go back to this whole topic about our women
or
men.
But can I say something real quick about that, though? Can I say that about this real quick? I don't want it to make it to where it's only women who are sabotaging.
Right. That's why
I was asking women and men. I was asking Steve this question based off of women because he dates women.
Correct. But what I was going to say is because we are talking about men and women, and we're talking about various characteristics and types. And you started off the show by describing how important early relationships are with caregivers. And as a result of trauma, it impacts adults in their dating world, right? Like,
right.
We're not making that up. We didn't just pull it out the sky. There's statistical data that supports it. There's research that supports that, right? But what Steve is describing are lived experiences that I can say I personally don't dabble in that world. Can't speak for Fatima. Can't speak to you, Dr. Raheem. But I do know that there is a different lifestyle that some individuals do deliberately engage in. And they engage in that for whatever reasons. Now, with that being said, I'm going to go back to the example that Steve described, because he talked about a woman in a marriage. Didn't say good or bad, but a woman in a marriage. And maybe her husband, as you said, Dr. Raheem, treats her like a queen, but she still steps out on him. I'm going to use that example because I've had her in my office more than once. And it baffles me because, by all fairness, she describes a husband who is awesome. He adores her. She has everything. In the relationship is not the problem with him per se. The problem is with her. But she's in counseling because she finally realizes that the problem is with her. So she intentionally seeks out these other types of relationships because they're the total opposite of what her husband is. So everything that her husband is, the guys that she's cheating with, they're night and day. I mean, totally night and day. And in her mind, she doesn't even understand why she continues to go back to these types of men, even though it's the very thing that she says she despises. But yet, when she talks about her early childhood experiences, it's riddled with trauma. So when you talk about do people unintentionally self-sabotage relationships, I think the answer to that is yes. I think people do. And it's not until someone points it out to them that they even become aware that they're self-sabotaging. It becomes a pattern, and that pattern becomes their normal. And Fatima, you do couples therapy. In your clinical experience, how would you answer that question? What have you seen in practice? Are people self-sabotaging in these relationships?
Oh, people are absolutely self-sabotaging in their relationships. I want to apologize really quickly if there's a lot of background noise. I'm currently driving from Missouri to Texas, so excuse the background noise. But, yeah, people are absolutely sabotaging their relationships. And it's more often than not, they're unconsciously doing it. I think that quite often, and I would say this with men and women, and if we're going to stick with the infidelity that we're discussing, you know, it's a smaller percentage of people who cheat just because they can. A lot of times, or at least in my clinical experience, people are stepping out on their relationships because there's something that's missing in the relationship or some part of them that needs to be fulfilled, be it because of past childhood trauma or, you know, things that actually something that Dr. Raheem said about, you know, getting involved in relationships and thinking that you can change the person, and then when that doesn't happen, seeking that out, the things that they were hoping to get or they were hoping to change, seeking that out someplace else. And I think that a lot of times they are not aware that, I mean, most people know if they're cheating, they know that that's not a good thing and they're not doing their relationship any favors. But outside of that, just other behaviors, I think quite often people don't realize they're doing it. They don't realize how the dislikes or the way that they might check in or out of a relationship might be sabotaging the relationship. little bit about attachment. So a lot of times when we're talking about it, there's childhood attachment in them, but we're specifically talking about adult attachment styles. So 50% of people have what's considered a secure attachment style. So what does that look like? People who are securely attached are people who feel comfortable and confident within themselves and how they interact and relate with other people, with their intimate partners. They are completely comfortable and okay if you are checking in with each other throughout the day, and they're also comfortable and okay if you are not, because they are secure, and if you are in this relationship, they are going to talk to you at some point. So that's 50% of people. Now, 25% of people are what we call avoidant or even sometimes dismissing attachment style. So an avoidant attachment person, that would be someone, they're usually pretty, they're interesting people. They're charming. They draw you in. And then these will be the people that once you kind of get with them, then they start picking you apart. They start looking for things about you, things that they don't like, reasons to distance themselves from you, right? So these are people who will say, like, they need a lot of me time. They don't necessarily find themselves being fulfilled by checking in with you all the time. They like a lot of distance and space in their relationship. So it's like they draw you in, but then once you get in, they're constantly pushing you away. So those people are avoiding or dismissing attachment types. Then you have 20% of people who are anxious. They have an anxious attachment style. These are people who, they need that constant reassurance. They are sort of obsessed almost with, like, relationship status, labels. They want to be hearing from you. They want to talk to you. They want to text you. They want to see you. They need quite a bit of attention and reassurance. That's that anxiety. So that anxious attachment style, the worst pairing you can have is an anxious person with an avoidant person. And then there's 5% of people that's like what we call anxious avoidant, and they're just like a special group. So I wanted to break down a little bit attachment types, but why that's important if we're talking about people sabotaging relationships, and this probably is also a little bit of my worldview and my theoretical orientation, but a lot of times people are getting into relationships with people whose attachment style does not line up with or match their own. So you see a lot of these pursuer-distancer cycles playing out over and over again. If you get somebody who's an anxious attachment type involved with somebody who's avoidant or dismissing, and the more they chase, the more that other person pushes away and pulls away. Right? And we also know that in adulthood, attachment style can change. So if you are somebody who maybe used to be secure, but then you ended up in a lot of toxic relationships, your attachment style will actually change. It doesn't happen very often, but it does.
Well, Fatima, I'm so glad you took the time to explain that.
Yeah, I also want to add something to that as well. What you also need to look at is your conflict resolution style. Some people run to the conflict. Some people run away from the conflict. So that is going to be a factor as well with your attachment style is how you resolve those conflicts. Because what you'll find sometimes is people may be involving themselves in extracurricular activities as a way to punish their mate instead of actually going through the process of seeing what's actually wrong and fixing it. So that is a way that they subconsciously punish their mates for behavior that they have exhibited that they don't approve of.
See, that's a valid point, but I want to speak on it, but we do have a caller, so instead I'm going to go to the phone line. Caller at 708, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're
Hello?
On the air, caller.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. I just wanted to say that I mostly agree with what you guys are saying, especially as far as subconsciously sabotaging relationships. Not being with, you know, dating somebody or dating people that are not really what you need because you don't feel like you deserve the person that you should be with. I mostly agree. Like, I've experienced it. And the relationship styles that you were talking about, the avoidant person, I've been with the avoidant person. I do understand, like, at one time before that person, I was a secure attachment. And then after that person, I became an anxious person in the relationship because that person was so avoidant. But now I'm in a healthy relationship.
Well, that's good to hear.
And counseling helped with that. Learning about the traumas in my past with my dad, with the men in my life, actually before the relationship, working on those relationships helped in the current marriage that I'm in.
Caller, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that, because at the end of the show, I was going to talk about ways to avoid self-sabotaging, and the first thing that I was going to say was to go talk to a therapist. Like, that was really going to be the first thing. And it wasn't as I was trying to make a plug, but it was the reality that people just don't know what they don't know. And so you mentioned that you went to therapy, and hearing you talk, you can tell when someone's gone to therapy because their language changes. They become so insightful and aware about their own patterns and their own behaviors. And also, you begin to accept your own stuff. And it sounds like that's what you were able to do. And because of that, you're now in a healthy marriage.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing that comment. I know. That sounded so good.
I think everybody should go to therapy.
We all think everybody should go to therapy, caller. We are all advocates for therapy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Dr. Malik Rahim, we have a few minutes before we close out the show. What do you want our listeners to know about avoiding good relationships and potential self-sabotage?
I'm so glad that Ms. Fatima thought about explaining the definition of the different attachment styles. Right. I thought that was so beautiful. I apologize. I didn't think about that, but I'm glad that she was on her toes and she thought about it. I couldn't say it better than you said it, to seek out counseling because of the fact that, and I, when I say counseling, I mean a professional counselor or a professional therapist, not going to the beauty salon or a barber shop and getting their
opinion. The pastor
in all seriousness might have a degree in counseling, but
if
under normal circumstances.
If the pastor has a degree in counseling, yes. Right. If the pastor does not have a degree in counseling, no.
No, all right.
If your pastor says you need to do some work, yes. But if your pastor says just pray about it, no.
No.
Because you need to do more than just pray about it.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. I would say that in the sense where it's like I think so many of us have so many traumas that we don't recognize and that we do things that are just maladaptive. And sometimes we think it's okay because of the things that we've done and that we've been, you know, it's been getting us by so far. I really would encourage everyone to not just, you know, go off of their lived experiences of thinking that something is okay, but actually seeking professional help from a professional counselor or a clinical social worker, a psychologist, or a marriage and family therapist that that does some excellent work and is culturally competent. So like, I think that is some of the most important things, because the things that happen to you, the traumas that happen to you in your life, whether it's from childhood, adolescence, or even currently happening, really impacts you as an individual. And like I said, Ms. Fatima beautifully laid it out about the attachment styles. I probably wouldn't quote the numbers, you know, because I'm not sure on, you know, how accurate the percentages are, but the definitions were definitely head on. You know, the definitions was definitely head on. And it's like she's exactly right that sometimes, you know, you can, you know, have different attachment styles chasing after each other that's not necessarily compatible, and that really do need to rethink the possibility of getting together, especially without professional couples counseling.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much for that, those final words. Steve, what about you? What are your final words?
I definitely think we did touch on some important things, you know, and Fatima did give us some great definitions. And we don't need Dr. Rahim's approval on what your numbers are, Fatima. If that's what you say the numbers are, that's what they are. Because you came with a definition of the numbers. So we don't need you to be validated.
Wait, hold on. So Fatima's defense, and I'm going to tell Dr. Rahim this. If you remember the doctoral days when you were engulfed in your research phase and you lived by those numbers, that's where Fatima is right now. She's ABD, so she is living and breathing the data. And so I am definitely more likely to believe that her numbers are more likely going to be correct at this time than you and I numbers would be. But she was dead on the definitions. And unfortunately, as she stated, she's on the highway, so her call did drop, which is why she has probably not responded back since you made
right, but
that
can
statement.
I say
so just to her defense.
No. Can I say something real quick? I think Steve is trying to start some stuff. I really
I'm not trying to start anything.
Let me finish.
She doesn't need your validation.
You did. You got to let him finish. You do have to
let
him finish.
Let me finish. Let me
finish. He's been talking for 10 minutes already.
It wasn't even about, because I'm the guest. I'm the guest. You're a host. I'm the guest. The guest didn't have a time.
What that mean? You can talk, but you know, you had your 10 minutes. You know, this was my closing comment.
I just said, all I said was, I'm not sure. I said I wasn't sure about the numbers, but I was dead on about the definition. Just because I'm not sure about the numbers does not mean that
you don't have to be sure about the numbers.
You know what? I'm just
going
to let it
go. Hey, we do have another caller, and Fatima is back. Steve, I need your final thoughts, and Fatima's back, so I want to get hers.
Hey, like I said, the definitions are dead on. Definitely look at how you resolve your conflicts. You know, if you're an avoidance, you know, or you run to them, you kind of need to check that to make sure that, you know, you're definitely developing your relationship and not running from your problems. So take the call and take the team. I'm done.
And I think we just lost that caller. I'm sorry, caller. I was trying to get to you, but some men was being messy boots this evening. So I apologize that I missed that caller. But I am glad
really
that Fatima
has a issue with strong black men that he really is secure about.
Oh, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to have to go to Fatima.
Every time I see you have a male, every time you have a male guest, he has issues.
I don't have a problem with strong black men. There's only one strong black man on the phone.
Left, Dr. Rahim. I got to go to Fatima. Fatima, what's your closing thoughts for us?
Well, my closing thoughts, I definitely want to piggyback on what you've said and others have said. 100%, if you find yourself repeating some of the same relationship cycles or just not in the relationship that you want, so maybe you're not even sure that it's an unhealthy relationship or whether or not it's a good relationship, but you're just not in the relationship that you want, then I highly recommend going to talk to a counselor. A lot of times people think that therapy is only when things are disastrous or things are horrible. But in the same way that we take our cars to get the oil changed and get it tuned up and nothing is wrong with it, well, you need to think about your mental health in the same way. So there's nothing wrong with just going to get a mental health tune-up or checkup. And it doesn't mean you're crazy, and it doesn't mean you're weak, and it doesn't mean your relationship is bad. But perhaps it could be better. Or perhaps you might discover that there are things you are doing that you don't even realize you're doing that's preventing you from having the love that you want.
Thank you so much, Fatima, for those thoughts. And as we close out, I want to thank my guest. I really have been trying to get him on the show for months. And so thank you so much, Dr. Malik Rahim, for coming on the show today. Thank you for bringing this topic to the show today. I definitely think that it was one that was deserving of our discussion. Thank you for dialoguing with myself, Fatima, and Steve, and for raising some really good questions to our listeners. As we close out, I want to piggyback on what all of you guys said as we wrap up. The question today we posed is, are men and women afraid of good relationships, and are they unintentionally self-sabotaging them? We don't have an answer to that. We can't say it's yes or no, but we do know that it's happening. And in the event that you think you might be someone who is sabotaging their own relationship, there are things that you can do. They've already mentioned them. Number one, we highly encourage you to go talk to a therapist, a trained therapist, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your community. If you believe that you wouldn't feel comfortable talking to someone that doesn't look like you, find someone that looks like you, male, female, doesn't matter. There are clinicians that are licensed to assist you. Second thing, really understand and accept your part in the problem. Like, you can't just continue to see your life spiraling out of control and then blame it on other people. At some point, we have to take accountability and understand that we play a role in it. It may not be the major role in it, but we do play a role. And once you understand that you play a role in it, understand that you have control of that. And with control of that, you can make some changes. With those changes, you have an opportunity to change your lifestyle. You have an opportunity to change the type of person that you're dating. You don't have to continue to be a victim. And so if you're listening to this show today and you know someone who might be self-sabotaging their relationship, tell them to listen to the show. Tell them to go talk to somebody. Ideally, our goal is to make sure that people are living their best lives. And that may mean that they're living their best lives in a relationship that has the potential to be happy. So as always, you guys, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Fatima C, thank you guys for co-hosting with me today. And
absolutely,
don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on, tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. Everyone, have a great week. Talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.